Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Ball Year Round Podcast. You know, we're going to roll right into this thing right now. There's been NBA Summer League jam-packed with a bunch of news. The Celtics were actually in the finals with the Kings. Mike, how many beers did you have before, you know, you were just like, man, I'm done with this game? What was kind of rolling with you, man?
I mean, I would say my pace was a little faster than normal, as we were down about 30 the whole time there. It was rough. And I mean, it wasn't even like, you know, we were shooting a better percentage and we had 16 turnovers in the first half. It was like 8 turnovers a quarter kind of thing throughout the whole game. So it was tough to watch because it was just kind of, you know, pretty sloppy. I mean, credit to the Kings. They played some crazy defense. Like, that was the toughest, most team defense I've seen the whole time. They were doubling Pritchard. And when they weren't doubling Pritchard, Davion Mitchell was just all over him, all in his shit, not letting him feel comfortable. So that was tough. But it ended up 28-7, I think, on the turnover totals, which that's tough to overcome.
You know, and two, what's crazy is the coaching staff that was over there with the Kings was pretty interesting. You know, we got to give a shout out to Doug Christie as an assistant. Bobby Jackson was running the show. But they also had a few other coaches out there, man, like with some WNBA experience, you know, so they were really game planning, man. You could tell, like, Bobby Jackson's hungry. He's hungry, man. He wants a job. And I think he wants to prove himself a bit. And, you know, I think that's why you kind of saw that doubling, you know, on Peyton Pritchard, blitzing ball screens, things of that nature. Like, I think he was able to really get them to buy in. But when you have Davion Mitchell as a point guard, you know, he's all in and wants to then take what you're saying and communicate it to his teammates. And obviously, you know, he did a good job of connecting with everybody. It seems like they had a lot of trust in each other, man. It was like the stats didn't matter for the Kings last night.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they didn't really shoot great. Like, we outshot them percentage-wise for a large stretch of the game, I think almost the whole game. And, you know, it just didn't matter because they were just forcing turnover after turnover. And, I mean, like you're saying, Bobby Jackson got a lot out of the guys. I think, you know, a lot of those guys probably remember Bobby Jackson, Doug Christie. And, you know, you got a guy like that that you recognize and, you know, brings that kind of intensity. It's a little easier to bring it out of yourself, I guess. And, you know, they played well. Davion Mitchell, you know, I think he's getting really hyped up right now for the defense and stuff. I think he'll be a fine player, but, you know, he still has kind of his limitations at 6'2". I think he did a great job on Pritchard, obviously, but that's kind of the perfect guy for him to showcase what he does in Pritchard. Where, you know, not everybody in the league's built like Pritchard. Like, everyone tends to be a little taller, a little longer. So we'll see what he does when he gets, like, a real big-ass two-guard on him. Like, see what he does when he has to guard Jaylen Brown for a second if he's next to De'Aaron Fox at the point, you know? we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, Louis King, we had a Louis King sighting. Were you excited to see him running around out there? I hadn't seen him in a year.
Dude, Louis King, man, like – it's crazy because, yeah, you're right. Like, haven't seen him a lot and truthfully don't know too much about him. So that's, you know, it was nice to, you know, at least, you know, kind of see some new players out there, man. Like, honestly, that's why I love Summer League, you know, been there, you know, for that 1 year. And it was so amazing to see players that you're like, okay, he didn't even get drafted, but, you know, he may come in and, you know, make some things happen. But also too, like we said, you know, seeing new players, is why I love Summer League and guys have that opportunity to really, you know, make something happen.
Yeah. Louis King ended up 8 of 18. He had led the team in scoring with 21, led the game in scoring in general. And, you know, he had some sloppy points where he was, you know, getting his bucket, but he had some, you know, nice pull-up threes and stuff. Like, I loved him at Oregon. I thought he was a stud. He came out a little early, but, you know, he's only 22. He's got some time to develop. But yeah, another Antetokounmpo got a championship. Alex Antetokounmpo is on this Kings roster buried down there. So that was pretty funny. You know, Antetokounmpo stay winning. But yeah, no, it was tough to watch. It ended up 167. And, you know, the Celtics Summer League team was nasty for a while. And they finally kind of laid an egg. The only time that they, you know, couldn't lay an egg, really. But
and luckily it's Summer League, brother. It's one of those.
Yeah, it don't matter.
Yeah, kind of like those AAU games, man. Once you know you're going to lose the AAU game, you're like, man, it's a wash. Not really worried about it. So luckily, though, you know, the younger Celtics had a great showing. And, you know, that team has so much to build on. I mean, what the heck they're doing. It's been an overhaul, you know, obviously of the you know, the organization and, you know, staff and everybody. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, the young rookies, they've kept the mold of that they play hard and that they're always going to be out there to compete.
Yeah, yeah, I love what we saw out of like Bruno Fernando and Juwan Bagarian for long stretches there. Their defense is going to be, I think they're going to have some role player minutes defensively because they're both so versatile, you know, and they got that kind of intensity and just bring it the whole time. I made a joke that it sounded like we were watching KG for a second there last night because the audio kept just dropping out and it was Bruno Fernando just sending shit and getting in people's faces about it. It was great. He was just he was letting it fly, and the audio guy was having none of it. So, but it was cool. You know, so like you said, summer league's just fun. You know, we don't need to win titles here. We don't get to put up banner 17 and a half if we win anyway. So, it is what it is. But yeah, enough about the turnover session. That was that championship. We got a little Grant Riller, Charles Bassey situation update. Your boy Grant Riller is officially on the roster. Yeah, officially a two-way contract with the Sixers.
Yep, big two-way. I love it. You know, I think it's great for him, just because of the situation and the guard-heavy frenzy in Charlotte, if you will. You know, because right now D'Angelo Ball is making a little bit of a splash, but nonetheless, like all the attention is going to be with the Ball's brothers. You know, and so for them, you know, for Grant, it's great. You know, he was with the Hornets, you know, got drafted by the Hornets in the second round of the College of Charleston. Shout out to you, Mike, in your area. And then, yeah, no, just being with the Sixers now, it kind of gives him a new place to, you know, spread his wings and show what he's about. You know, a player that I compare him best to, honestly. And, you know, it's not somebody like, oh, man, it's like this freak. Like, but Mike James, man, is that's who I compare Grant Riller to. I think Grant Riller is a more athletic Mike James. And I think somebody needs to give him the ball because, you know, he'll cross you over, do the thing that Mike James does and hit the jumper, but he'll dunk on you like Baron Davis.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Grant Riller. I'm excited to see what he does with that two-way. He's probably going to mess up the G League when he gets his opportunities there. And that Sixers team, man, they need a shooter. So if he starts cooking, like, who knows? Like, if he gets a little tick, maybe they give him that that full roster deal kind of thing.
Hey, Seth Curry coming back for them? Is he there?
Yeah, he's on a four-year – yeah, he'll be a free agent in 2023. So he's got this year and next year at $8 million, which hey, that's a bargain for him after that playoff run. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I like that a lot. But that also kind of it's kind of funny we have like that 6 degrees of separation sometimes with these like random – you know, situations going on. And like Grant Riller, obviously you had him in high school for a second. Was that right? Or was it college?
No, I didn't even have Grant, man. I didn't even get a chance to coach Grant.
Oh, you were on his team the year after, right? Yeah.
I came in there and he just came back and worked out with some of our players and, you know, helped, you know, kind of tell some college coaches about our guys. And, you know, none of them ended up signing over at College of Charleston, but, you know, it put Okoye on the map for that.
Yeah, yeah, and that's also ironic. I just moved down to Charleston, so you know, it's weird dot connection going on there. Now I'll have to deal with his daggers with the Sixers maybe someday, which will suck. But Bassey, that we were talking about him a few episodes ago and his whole agent situation, he ended up sitting out all five games, which when we were talking about that was what right after the first game. I thought for sure they were going to figure something out and be able to see him at least once in summer league, but didn't happen. So, but it looks like from what I've dug off of the SixersWire.com and FanSided or FanNation or whatever it was, that kind of has these little rumors trickling out, is that it's kind of just a dispute between whether it's a one-year and a two-year deal. Obviously, Bassey wants a little more security in 2 years, a little more time to develop, and the Sixers kind of just want to give him a one and done. But I mean, I hope for his sake he gets a two-year because I could see him really – you know, taking a year to adjust and get settled in and develop a little bit more handle and stuff. But once he gets settled in, I think he's got some very high potential. I mean, that's why he still ended up going. But you know, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just kind of with his talent, I mean, what do you think he can kind of provide, you know, the Sixers? Like, what kind of role do you think he'll play this year?
I feel like, you know, he's a great insurance protection in terms of their big man. They kind of, you know, it was unfortunate, like we were saying in that episode, like, you know, this is summer leagues where guys kind of like start to carve out that potential role player, you know, even if it's just a few minutes, spot like center, backup center position kind of stuff. Because they got JoJo, obviously, so he's going to play his 35. But they also have Drummond, which is going to, you know, be a logjam minutes-wise. So he's probably not going to get his first year unless there's injuries, which – you know, I think he's a perfect little slide-in guy. Like, he's same kind of style as, like, a Drummond or Embiid. Less skilled than Embiid, obviously. I would say potentially more skilled than Drummond. But, you know, not as much of a burly guy as Drummond. Drummond's a monster on the boards kind of thing. But he's going to surprise some people when people finally see him. He has a lot of unteachable traits, a lot of size, a lot of bounce, a lot of second jump stuff. And he's got a motor, too, when he turns it on, at least. He's got a motor. But, yeah, I'm real curious to see how that ends up working out. And he's, you know, I like we're saying, they're kind of actually a little bit, you know, between Drummond and Embiid, it's like, you know, they're just signing a insurance policy. So that's why Sixers are looking at a 1 year, hopefully, with their hope for them. But we'll see. George Niang still kicking around on that roster.
Jeez, really? That's a name. Iowa State. Yeah. Unbelievable. My goodness.
Yeah. No. Yeah. He's a little more stretch four-y these days, but he was more of a center back in the day. He's a little undersized for the NBA.
Super undersized and, like, just not quick enough, man. He can't guard. I think that's the biggest thing, you know. And just real quick, you know, just to, before we wrap up on Summer League, you know, just want to talk a little bit about Detroit and something I saw, you know, with Luka Garza, you know. Luka Garza said, you know, I'm not the most athletic dude, but I'll run up and down the court hard as heck every time. And I will beat you every single time up and down because that's just how I'm going to go. And there's no coincidence in that, man. The dude got a two-way deal. So,
nice.
You know, and for any bigs out there, man, the big man is not dead in the NBA. They will only go small ball. If you are going to play slow and you don't want to just run and get up and down the floor and make your bread by, you know, rebounding and finishing, you know, that early. And then you'll be like Joel Embiid and you'll get the ball. But, you know, sometimes, you know, for bigs, I think they get a little bit lost out there if they're not touching the ball, but it's better to go get it, man. So I think that just proves that for, you know, people going to get contracts, man.
Yeah, Garza had a huge game to end the summer league with Detroit. He kind of started out sputtering out the gate there. I think they started out 0-2, ended up winning their last three. Garza had 21-15 in their last outing. I've been a Garza, Garza truther a little bit in terms of, you know, when he, at least the last, you know, year when he was a big hyped up college player, I was like, that's just not really going to translate to the NBA probably. You know, big psycho T. Tyler Hansborough vibes at times in terms of, you know, relying on that size to carve things out. And is that size going to be able to be carving things out against an Andre Drummond? I don't know. And like the style of the game kind of thing, but he, like you're saying, he, you know, he definitely showed he's got a little bit of sticking potential in the NBA with a, you know, he definitely runs hard, runs the floor hard. And I mean, we saw guys like Tyler Zeller have long role player careers just running the floor, and he's got a lot more beef to offer than Tyler Zeller potentially. You know, I'll be interested to see how he does defensively and stuff like that. But yeah, he's got an all right jumper. You know, it's definitely improved in the last 12 months. He's definitely been working on it since, you know, Iowa and through Iowa. But he, you know, I think a two-way deal is great for him. I think that's like exactly kind of where he needs to be year one. I think, you know, we could see in a couple of years, he might be playing some role player minutes as that three-pointer develops. Like if he ends up a knockdown, like, you know, corner three guy, all of a sudden you got a little bit of a player. He showed some passing ability, which he didn't really do much at Iowa because that was not the game plan at Iowa.
Definitely, man. No, I agree. I think that there's, you know, some, in my opinion, some Brook Lopez in him, you know, the ability to change his game earlier in his career. And, you know, kind of that five that can, you know, hit the three, but also, you know, does a good job of staying strong and guarding people and using his body to make sure guys are shooting, you know, tougher shots. And there's not a lot of guys that they're throwing it, you know, on the inside, and you got to handle it. You know, you got to mainly be able to guard the pick and roll and, you know, make sure you can get up and down the floor consistently. So if Zubac can do it, hell, this dude's got a chance, man. So
yeah, a little Big Z.
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy with Zubac because you didn't really love him. But, you know, now you get you see a guy like Garza, it's like, damn, okay, maybe he can, like, emulate some of these guys that, you know, really stick in the league with the center. And it's really rebounding, sprinting the floor, you know, contesting shots vertically and not fouling. And you can make the league as a big. But if you don't want to do those consistently, it's going to be – you won't make it.
Yeah, and it's all about that incremental improvement stuff. I think Zubac has a little more natural athleticism to him, a little more bounce. But I think the biggest thing, like I said, with Garza, like, he developed that three. And another thing he did was the one thing that another thing I was really worried about in terms of translating the NBA was that foot speed and that speed in general. And he got in way better shape, dude. Dude has trimmed down a lot since freaking beginning of even just last college season.
Facts. Agreed. Yeah, I think that he might have been like, man, hopefully I got my credits to graduate. And he's like, he didn't do anything in the spring semester, like after Christmas, but work out. And
the dude's been on the Peloton. Right.
Yeah, man, he's been eating right. He's been doing it all. So,
yeah, definitely, definitely going to be interesting to watch. He's a little older, obviously, but you know, 22 ain't that old. We'll see what he does in the next few years here. But yeah, that was Summer League. Or no, actually, did you get a chance to watch your Bulls at all with Dosunmu and all them?
I did see that he played well. He had a really good game. He had about 20 plus points and then, you know, 7 rebounds. So that was awesome.
He had a couple of nice nights.
Yeah, dude, I think he's a steal of the draft as well. He's a really good player, and he was an EYBL best scorer, you know, on that team. So it's like, you know, people got to realize, man, this draft is not about high picks. This draft is about players.
Okay. Steve.
That's players, man. If you can see who a player is, you have a shot. And people are mad, all the Brooklyn Nets, how do you get the best score? It's because they know who can play. It doesn't matter about college. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're talking Cam Thomas.
Yeah, Cam Thomas, phenomenal, yeah. Dude. Like, the dude, we all saw it at LSU. The guy could flat out score. Oh, is it? Like, yes, it's going to translate to the NBA. There's more space. It's going to be
great. It's probably going to be better. Yeah, especially with LSU is not exactly a wonderfully designed offense usually.
17 to 19 a game at LSU. Like, I don't know exactly the numbers, but I mean, the dude averaged 27 a game in the NBA because there's more space. You know, Yoda, the draft guru, he said that it's going to happen, and it did, you know.
Dude, 23 a game actually at LSU.
Yeah, no, 23 a game translates to, you know, 27 a night. And then if you do the, you know, the 36-minute cuts like they usually do, like the dude's over 30-plus points a game. So it's just I don't know, man.
I like him a lot. I saw some stat today that he's the all-time leading scorer to Oak Hill. That's kind of ridiculous. Yep, didn't realize that.
Kevin Durant over a bunch of different players. Yep. That tweet today. And
Mello.
Yeah.
Demondor.
Rondo. It's like, dude, like, what the heck is, you know, what's going on?
Did you see that overtime game?
I did not see the overtime game. Nah. What was the overtime
game? Oh, man. It was just the Cam Thomas show. It was nuts. It was just him hitting clutch bucket after clutch bucket, and then it ended with him hitting like it was kind of like, you know, they ISO with like 5 seconds left. He lost the ball a little bit, which kind of just gave him the opportunity to get around his guy when he collected the ball, and he just one dribble, like, did the run into it, 1 foot, like, dirt kind of Luka-ish off one-legged three. It was nuts.
I did see
that. He was like, yeah, I practiced that.
Unbelievable. You know, and that's what the summer league's about. But that's also too, like, you know what great players are made of, man. He's got that it about him. So I'm very interested to see how that plays out. But I'm interested to see how people draft after this year too. I think this year really taught a lot of people, like, man, take your shot on the kid that you want. Don't worry about, you know, all the numbers and stuff, and, you know, That's my thought.
Yeah, and it was a different year with COVID and everything too, in terms of evaluations and talking to people and interviewing and all that. So yeah,
we are stuck in this COVID. So
we're gonna be on Omega.
Yeah, if we're gonna make that excuse of that, this
right,
is
bad. Right.
COVID is here to stay, and how we're really able to see who can recruit and who can draft. So
yeah, let's hope we get a vaccine version 17 eventually and fixes it or something.
I think Boston right now, man, is a team in the East that's like, okay, hey, yeah, maybe six, but like, Mike, dude, I think your guys are going to be so sneaky, man. Mm. And these kids are going to play so hard and so well that, I'm going to go out there right now. And I know I'm going to sound crazy as heck, but I'm going top three in the East for the Boston Celtics next year. And the Bulls are going to be weird and be a six seed.
That's, I mean, hey, I wouldn't mind that. I'm kind of hoping your Bulls pull something off for you, because we've had an embarrassment of riches in terms of at least playoff successes and getting to the playoffs with the Celtics with unexpected kind of good teams the last 5 to 10 years.
If we can talk about Doc real quick and what he's been able to do just as far as every team he's been with and the culture that he's created, bro. I was able – I watched – it's like, it's second to none. It's like really based on like if the players are going to buy into Doc and, KG and them, they really bought into that, So that's where I think as far as the Celtics roll with what they're doing, I just think they have that it factor, with the teams that don't. And that's why the Bulls, I'm a big Bulls fan, man, but I just don't know if we have the culture piece in from top to top. And that's where I say, that's my biggest worry about it. But, for the Celtics wise, what they do is they are just an out of the box thinking team, man. I can't wait to see what the heck happens with this squad. And I'm a big time Jaylen fan, one of my favorite. And shout out to Atlanta, Georgia, with some of the best, that whole state, hidden talent basketball.
Yeah, watch. JB.
Hell yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I love what we got going on. But so summer league's over, unfortunately. We got 2 months till more basketball. The schedule is going to come out any day now. I think I saw 4 days ago that there was an article saying that it's going to be out in the next week or two. But they did announce Christmas Day games.
You saw also too the opening games. With the Lakers and opener game, that'll be a big time game. Who do you think will win that game between the Warriors and Lakers?
Warriors aren't gonna have Clay back, so I'm gonna take the Lake show. They're not giving him a timetable from what I've read. Is that it's kind of like they're gonna give him as much time as he needs because he had the Achilles thing after the ACL, which is just brutal. Who knows when he comes back, how long it takes to get back into game shape and game rhythm. I believe in the modern science helping him get back to eventually being his old self, but it's going to take a year after coming back probably. Like we saw with Gordon Hayward, Kevin Durant's an anomaly. He was literally nasty as soon as he came back in from an Achilles, which is still just another feather in his one of the greatest players of all time hats. But yeah, you got Bucks Nets to start that night, and then it ends with a Warriors Lakers. That's going to be fun. The Nets have to watch the Bucks get their rings.
I think that's I think that'll be a little bit of motivation. We'll see kind of how those Nets come out in that game. So those will be really exciting, man. I like what the NBA is doing with that. I'm glad we'll get to see a Giannis and the Bucks get out there. And were the Bucks able to retain everybody, man? Are they going to be bringing back some new
people? They got I know they got Bobby Portis back at $4 million a year or something stupid.
Got him back.
Something ridiculous.
I thought.
Yeah, I don't think they got PJ Tucker back. They didn't get PJ Tucker back though.
Yeah, the PJ Tucker piece is going to be really tough because he was the piece the mouthpiece in my opinion. He guards well and he's always going to be one of your best defenders. And Giannis, though, gets the award and is the defender. But Giannis, I don't think, can always verbalize, you know, to other teammates what he, you know, is feeling, man. Like, it doesn't just spread like wildfire like P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker, mm-hmm. man, he can get, you know, hell, he could get me and you to play defense on that team, bro. You know what I mean? Like, shit, I'd be fouling everybody, but at the end of the day, he would make me believe in the fact that, hey, I might have a chance to guard this guy in front of me. And there's no chance for that. But, you know, that's the type of confidence that PJ, you know, embodies and then puts out to everybody else. So, you know, losing him, I think, is going to be really tough for the Bucks. You know.
For sure.
I don't know.
PJ gives off those, like, what up?
I don't say much about Bobby Portis, man. You know, he was, you know. He wasn't, yeah, dude, with the Bulls, you know,
I forgot. Yeah, that's where he knocked the teeth out of, what was it, Nikola? Yeah. No, who was it? Miritich.
Miritich, bro. Punched Miritich in the face, and then Miritich got, you know, sent away anyway, and then our team tanked. So.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'll take him at 4 mil, man. It's a bargain. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, you know, and so, yeah, I'm not a – nor here nor there on Bobby Portis. I'm happy for him though, you know, winning that title. But yeah, the how he went in Chicago and where we picked him at.
Yeah, that's brutal.
You know, hey, so.
Yeah. But I think, you know, PJ Tucker, like you're saying, has a lot of those like Marcus Smart defensive leader intangibles where he inspires his teammates to play more defense based off of his defensive effort. And I think they're really going to notice you know, some step back, not step back really, but like the fatigue that typically is at the end of the game for key scorers like Middleton and Giannis. They didn't really have that this year because PJ Tucker was busting his ass on the best player, and Middleton and Giannis are usually those guys on that team. So we'll see how that all pans out in terms of, you know, through the year and playing defense and not having a, you know, that defensive binky per se, and PJ Tucker to throw in Kevin Durant, even if Kevin Durant's, you know, dropping 40 and having a good game, at least it wasn't on Giannis or Middleton, you know, are getting tired, wearing themselves out, trying to stick with someone like that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they can repeat their successes of last year. It was kind of a funky playoffs, you know. We had a Suns Bucks final, so I don't know if we'll see similar results this year, but you know, we're along for the ride either way. But we got a Sunday story dropping this Sunday. We got to talk to the greatest Canadian writers going right now, and Katie Heindel, greatest basketball journalists out there. You know, she's got some good podcasts. She's got some good feature stories. But yeah, what do you think of our little chat with Katie?
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, you touched on it, you know, the best. And, you know, it's her writing style is phenomenal. But also, too, you know, being able to make you feel like, you know, the guys that, you know, she talks about and is writing about each day feel like they're similar to you, you know. And I think she does a great job of, you know, writing and describing their, you know, their isms and, you know, what the things that they do to even prepare for games or, you know, even their responses, man. I think she does a phenomenal job. And the other part about her, she's just genuine, man. And that was, it was a nice takeaway. And she really, you know, she brought some stuff to the table that I hope, you know, people are able to, you know, utilize and, you know, make happen tomorrow. Cause I know there's somebody out there that's listening that's, you know, has gone through this COVID times like we have, man, that we've been on the computer a lot, you know, and people have been looking for opportunities. People have been like, you know what, but it's kind of been in front of you this whole time. So to believe in that and to, you know, attack your own goals and create your own goals, I think was a great takeaway from her interview.
Yeah, I think, you know, we had a good time with Katie. She, like you said, was super genuine with, you know, her experiences and her rise and her journey to where she is today. Like, you know, and she's like you're saying too, she's a great, I made the kind of tongue in cheek epithet of she's a great humanizer. Like, yep. She, I think there's a lot of not, there's a lot of like dehumanization in sports media at times. I think it's a lot better than it was 10, 20 years ago, but there still is a lot of, you know, kind of looking at it as a product and a numbers game more than a game played by humans kind of thing. And I think she does as well as anybody in the world at this point in basketball journalism in terms of getting, you know, painting the full picture of these guys are, you know, people just like everybody else. And they got dogs, they got hobbies, they got interests, they got, you know, a lot of cool shit going on outside of basketball. So I think, you know, I love that style and that approach to things. You know, she's not afraid to call out fans on their bullshit, you know, so that's always fun. But yeah, no, she's a great shooter, and she was a good time. So we're excited to drop that thing on Sunday. Keep an eye out for that. Yeah, one last thing I guess is Jackie Mack retired officially today, Wednesday, August 18th, 2021. The legend is hanging him up.
Yeah, man, she's I don't know if it was today or if it's at the end of the month, but she did say she's gonna hang it up, and it's the fact that she, you know, announced it today is, you know, for me, I mean, I've always watched Jackie Mack on TV, and she's always been somebody that provides insight for you, and you don't have to, you know, go searching it, you know, dig a little bit deeper on the story. She always had the story. You know, and a lot of it seemed like a lot of players, coaches, and personnel around the league trusted her, you know, and that's why they were willing to sit down and kind of speak with her and, you know, give a true take on, you know, situations. So it sucks to, you know, see her go, man. You know, I hope it, you know, for down this pipeline, I hope a lot of people are able to learn from her, you know, that are coming up and, you know, it's going to be like, man, dang, it's Doris Burke now. It's like, there's only a few more left, man. There's not many left. So, you know, seeing Jackie Mack go is tough, but she's definitely a phenomenal writer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's kind of a changing of the guard kind of thing. She was always a, you know, Boston beat person kind of first and foremost. There's all kinds of, you know, good stories of her in the 80s with, you know, the Celtics glory days and hanging out with Bird and the boys and, you know, putting a few back and just getting her quotes from, you know, chilling with the guys and just being a bro. And so I love, you know, what she brought to, you know, journalism and stuff. And it's, you know, it's sad to see her go, but hey, everybody's got to retire eventually. She got to retire at the nice young age of 60. So, you know, she's going to have a nice long retirement. I don't think this will be the last we see of her. I'm sure she'll make cameos. She'll pop in for stuff. She's a basketball lifer. So shout out Jack McMullen. We'll be missed. Anything else today, big fella?
Guys, I mean, that's kind of all we wanted to talk about. You know, just please look out for our Sunday story. You know, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, you guys, like, you can always find us, you know, BYRP365. You know, and then you can find me, AJ Roshan 22 on Twitter, Coach Roshan on Instagram. You know, we're working to post and talk and connect with our, you know, people that are listening. And this is, you know, for us, this is, you know, something that started as a small project, but has turned into, you know, being able to connect and learn from a bunch of different people in this industry, you know, whether it be coaches, players, or administrative people. As well as, you know, people that just listen, man, we've had a huge opportunity. Our listeners have, you know, reached out to, you know, people that they were like, hey, they'd love to jump on the show. So if anybody has that, you know, somebody that wants to come share their story, please let us know. I mean, we're kind of filling up, but, you know, we want to talk and, you know, share what we're doing, but also share what they have to, you know, offer.
Definitely. Yeah. We got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. As Andy alluded to, we've been through a little bit of a run here with the, I think it was 5 interviews in 5 days. We got 2 more this week, a couple next week. So we, you know, we got the ball year round motif going all year round for sure. But yeah, we'll see you guys Sunday.
Great, guys, man. You guys enjoy this evening, and we'll talk to you guys this weekend.